to this episode of How to Win with Patents and IP. I am Jackie Hutter, coming to you from the worldwide headquarters of the Hutter Group in beautiful Decatur, Georgia. I have been in the intellectual property business for almost 25 years as a litigator, patent prosecutor, licensing expert, senior innovation and IP counselor at a major consumer products and chemical corporation, and even as the CEO of a startup technology company. In other words, I have seen the IP business from all sides. And with this unique vantage point, I will be sharing with listeners the tools and techniques that I have developed over the years that have helped my clients develop not just intellectual property, but intellectual property that meaningfully moves the needle on the value of their business. If you're looking for case law discussions or information about how to get a patent through the patent office or other more specific legally directed information on getting intellectual property, this is not the podcast for you. But if you're an entrepreneur, an innovator, or a business person who seeks to not just get intellectual property, but intellectual property that creates value for your business, I look forward to sharing with you my proven tools and techniques that I have deployed repeatedly over the years to help my clients get their desired business outcome using intellectual property. Where their desired business outcome can be either in the form of improved profit generation, generation of licensing revenue, or enhanced exit valuations, where each desired outcome is determined in advance and therefore drives the strategy for everything that you do to obtain that IP. While I'll mostly be talking about patents in this podcast, from time to time, I will be also talking about other forms of intellectual property, such as trademarks, trade secrets, and intangible assets in generally, because sometimes these are the things that make the most value for a business. Before I get started on the introductory conversation about what it means to win with patents and IP, first let me do a bit of housekeeping. The views expressed in this podcast series are mine as a commentator on IP strategy and business value creation using patents and intellectual property, and it does not in any manner constitute legal advice. Moreover, while these tools and techniques have worked consistently with my own clients over the years, your mileage may of course vary, especially if you hire an IP professional who has not been trained in a business-focused approach to IP strategy methodology. Anyone seeking to develop patents and other forms of intellectual property that work for their own businesses is strongly encouraged to vet and select an IP professional with experience in developing client-centric patents and IP, and to be prepared to closely manage them to better ensure that the output of their efforts aligns with their own business needs. The information that I will provide to you in this podcast series will help you do this. Now let's get started with this episode. So the definition of winning is gaining, resulting in, or relating to victory in a contest or competition. We all know that, right? But importantly, it's talking here about a victory in relation to a contest or competition. So what is the contest? What is the competition? Well, where you stand depends on where you sit, right? So if you're a business person, it would follow that you're trying to get patents or other forms of IP that actually move your business forward, that actually create value for you. That, my friend, is what it means to win with patents and IP. Seems pretty obvious, doesn't it? That's your desired business outcome if you're a business person who's getting patents and IP. But it's very, very rarely done. So rare, in fact, that it's probably less than 5% of patents that actually create meaningful business value for those who get them. And this is not a made-up statistic. Rather, this number is based upon a study that was done by author and consultant Suzanne Harrison several years ago. Ms. Harrison interviewed a reasonably large number of IP leaders at some of the largest companies in the world who are known to have strong IP management programs. These are Fortune companies in all sorts of technology areas who spoke to Ms. Harrison about their IP management processes. And for these leaders, that is, people whose job it was actually to obtain meaningful IP at organizations that maintained IP strategy programs, only 5% of the total number of patents that each of these companies obtained were considered to have what they called strategic value for the companies. Now, what does strategic value mean? Strategic value, in my view, means that the patents they obtained were actually market making. They had a meaningful impact on how business was conducted in the relevant product or technology marketplaces. Again, where you stand depends upon where you sit. So each of these assessments of whether or not a particular patent or patent portfolio was strategic will be relevant only in the context of the particular patentee and the markets in which they participate. But again, when only 5% of patents obtained by these sophisticated patent filers ended up being winning patents relative to their individual IP or business strategies, that's a pretty dismal result. This is not to say that 95% of patents should be inferred as being worthless to their owners. Rather, about 25% of the patents assessed by these respective IP leaders were considered to have some market value, such that the subject patents likely covered a product that the company was selling, and so prevented competitors from selling that same exact product. But covering a product with a patent is not the same as having a patent that prevents your competitors from selling to that same customer. And therein lies the rub when we talk about strategic value generated from patents. If the market is made such that competitors can't legally compete with you because you have broad and relevant patent protection to the customer, to the market, then that's very, very rare. That is, it's 5% or fewer of patents actually do that. 25% of patents may, in fact, cover a product, but not really affect competition in a meaningful way. And that leads to 70% of patents effectively are worthless because they don't cover anything anybody wants to buy. So at the end of the day, whether it's 95% of patents are not that valuable or 70% of patents are not that valuable, the fact remains that very few patents make money in the amounts that are probably hoped for when the patent process starts, even while 100% of patents make money for patent attorneys. I'm sure you'll agree that this is a problem. So now's the appropriate time to put a bit of criticism in here for my patent and IP attorney peers. I frequently talk to folks and say, hey, you know what? The patents you're getting, 5% or fewer, actually create value for those who you're getting them for. And to a person, those IP experts that I talk to about my IP strategy practice end up agreeing with me that probably less than 5%, and as some say, far less than 5% of the patents that they're obtaining for their clients actually make their clients money. Now, I'll admit here, I don't talk to every patent attorney, and certainly the patent attorneys who I find myself talking to are those who appreciate a different perspective on generating patents and IP for their clients and from a business perspective. So the people I talk to may be a self-selecting group, but that begs the question of whether or not people can go to work every day with the realization that what they're doing actually is creating very little value at the end of the day, except for them. Candidly, that's how I got started on my journey to be an IP strategist who's creating value for my clients and not just a IP attorney who's creating IP for my clients. When I was a shareholder making lots and lots of money at a prestigious law firm, my business was the law. Everything that I had to do was directed toward ethically and professionally, of course, driving that business forward and being successful for myself and my partners. only when I left the law firm and went in-house at a large consumer products and chemical corporation did I realize that the only reason why my role and responsibility existed at this corporation was to enhance the business outcomes for my client so that we could make more money for our stakeholders, which in fact included me because I worked at the company and got a bonus every year based upon how the company did. Now, thinking about that, it wasn't a matter of doing more patents because more patents did not create value for our company because we were not in the patent acquisition business. There are companies that do, for example, IBM, but in our particular strategy, our goal was to create products that delighted our customers. And because they delighted our customers, we had to figure out how to keep our competitors from coming in and taking those customers by leveraging our insights, by leveraging our innovation to say, thank you very much for solving the problem. We'll take it from here. That meant that as our business strategy, our desired business outcome was to prevent our competitors from serving our customers. And our patents, therefore, had to protect the customer, not the product. In other words, our patents had to have strategic value. They had to be within that 5% number that I talked about before. Now, certainly, it's easier said than done, which means there's a whole lot more work involved in protecting a customer with a patent than there is to protect a product with a patent. Description of a product is very distinct, in other words. Customer is a much more abstract concept to protect. We'll talk about the differences in a subsequent podcast episode, but for now, suffice it to say that protection of a customer requires a more holistic look at the market and business aspects of what you're actually doing, what you're actually selling, and why the customer cares, than it is to define a product that you're actually selling to the customer, even while there may be a number of other products that solve the same problem for the customer. Now, I don't want to oversell the need to get strategic patents. Sometimes it's enough just to get a patent, if only because the specific business dynamics of a marketplace don't require a patent or require a different kind of patent. Or in the case of a company like IBM, require you to get a whole lot of patents independent of really what's in them, because it's the number of patents that matter in the aggregate and not what's in the specific patents themselves. But importantly, for companies that have made a decision to get a lot of patents in order to affect a business strategy, or for a company that's decided to only get one patent in order to affect a business strategy, the key is defining the business strategy dictates not only how many patents you get, but who you hire to get those patents for you, how much money you spend on those patents, how those patents are navigated through the patent office, and so on and so on and so on. Again, it's the desired outcome that dictates the path, not the other way around. Now, some people might be saying, well, duh, where you want to get to dictates how you get there, but that's not how the vast majority of patents are obtained today. The standard scenario when you sit down with a patent attorney is that he or she will ask you, what did you invent? But what you invented is what happened in the past. It's everything that you did to get to this nice little description of your product or technology that you're seeking to bring to market and to protect so that you can keep others from selling in your same markets. And there's the big disconnect. You're patenting to protect your future, be it in the form of keeping your revenue, obtaining a licensing agreement that drives revenue to you, or increasing your exit value. But the process of generating that protection is by looking at the past. And this, in my view, is why most patents fail to create strategic value for their owners. Adding to that is the fact that most patent attorneys think about what they're doing in the framework of very rigid legal rules that are guided by their technical backgrounds. And unfortunately, in my view, the person who sits down with the patent attorney is in all likelihood a technologist. And so what we tend to find is that the two technologists who have similar technology backgrounds typically will get into a mind meld and get all excited about the technology and the business aspects. That is what drove the invention to fruition in the first place are totally left out of the calculus. So this means that what we end up getting is a technical roadmap to a product or technology that is written in the patent application that is totally devoid of any commercial relevance. When this patent application is filed in the patent office, the examiner who is reviewing it to see whether or not it is allowable will also be looking at it from the technical context. So we're looking at a very precisely defined technical pathway that typically ends up in a patent being very specifically directed to something that is a product or technology. But importantly, the customer is not buying a product. The customer is buying a solution to her problem. And once it's validated that she will spend money to have that problem solved, the pathway is now opened up for competitors to solve that same problem. Again, this is very abstract, and we're going to be talking about it with specific examples in subsequent podcasts. But the bottom line here is I want to make clear for you that very often we're making category mistakes when we think the right way to develop value with patents is by protecting an invention as opposed to figuring out how to protect that customer, that we're making vast corporate investments in technology and innovation to figure out how to serve so that they'll write us a check, so that we can make money, so that we can pay our stakeholders and maybe even pay Jackie a bonus every year. So why aren't those who are in the patent business more engaged with why their clients should be hiring them in the first place? Well, by this time, I have a lot of years in my rearview mirror and understanding what I did wrong, relatively speaking, as a law firm attorney versus the skills that I developed as an in-house counselor whose goal it was to develop meaningful value for my clients, whether with my employer when I was in-house at a corporation or now in my role as a representative of multiple companies, effectively as an in-house consultant for IP. What I can now articulate is a fundamental difference in incentives and hopefully also accountability for those who are in the law firm context, who are generating patents for their clients in a law firm setting versus those who are generating patents in the in-house setting. A law firm lawyer is incentivized for work done, not outputs derived. The accountability is for number of hours generated every year, or number of patents drafted, or number of clients served. A law firm lawyer has no professional obligation to get you a patent that has value to you. And in fact, the courts have confirmed that a patent attorney has no obligation whatsoever to obtain their clients a valuable patent. Their job is only to obtain the client a patent that is acquired in a legally and ethically appropriate manner. In contrast, in a corporation that follows best practices in IP strategy, the in-house patent team, who are not always patent attorneys, will have the role and responsibilities to not only generate patents, but to generate patents and other forms of IP that are aligned with the defined business strategy and any outcomes that are necessary for that strategy to become a reality. In other words, well-run IP strategy forward organizations reward their teams for creating patents and IP that can be shown to make the company more money. Of course, the devil's in the details, and how a specific company does this will only be relevant in context. But the definition of a strategy is defining an endpoint and working backwards to figure out how to get there. And that's what these best practice IP strategy companies do. Now, you may be properly saying, but wait, they can only get it right 5% of the time. So if these best practice companies can't get it right, why should I even bother? Well, even in this small number of strategic patents, there are companies and organizations that are outliers, that get strategic patents, if not all the time, they get strategic patents most of the time. One of these companies is Procter & Gamble, which we'll discuss in detail with respect to their Swiffer SweatJet product in the next podcast. Also, I can say that clients who hire me to generate their IP portfolios for them also create winning IP strategies most of the time, if not all the time. Well, I can say that my success in this area is because I have experience doing this consistently and repeatedly with many clients in various product and technology spaces. I do have to admit that I do stack the deck to better ensure that whatever patents and IP that I obtain for clients will in fact be winning, that is, strategic. I'm able to do this because over the years I have developed an insight that patents rarely matter, but when they matter a lot. So that allows me to do the investigation on the front end to make sure that anybody's coming to me is actually in a space where getting a patent or other forms of IP more generally actually will be meaningful to the desired business outcome. If we can't show that patents or other forms of IP are going to lead to a meaningful financial result that we can articulate, then there's no reason for me to get involved because I can't add any value. And not only will I not be able to add value, I also won't be able to have a lot of fun with that client because I don't have fun unless I'm adding value. And life is too short to have a job where you don't have fun too. Some listeners may be wondering by this point why they've never heard this message from other patent experts. In fact, potential new clients almost always say, "You're the first one who's ever explained patents and IP to me in this way." In truth, however, there's really nothing magical, game-changing, or breakthrough in how I approach IP strategy for my clients. I learned my methodology by investigating how companies that do a good job in generating patents and IP go about doing so. But I could only do this when I actually asked the question, how do I create patents and intellectual property that create business value, and framed the strategy conversation that way instead of the usual question of how can I get a patent? Because it's really easy to get a patent. Hundreds of thousands are obtained every year. But as I've talked about in this podcast, it's very hard to get a valuable patent. But once you actually know that there's a difference between the types of patents that you can obtain in the context of business value, the analysis, in fact, becomes quite simple. Which one of these things is not like the other? If your goal is to develop valuable patents, strategic patents, it follows that you need to find those companies that are consistently able to obtain strategic patents and look to their strategies, their tools and techniques to help you replicate that outcome for your own purposes. In other words, the good news is that you don't have to be a guinea pig if you want to create not just patents, but patents that generate meaningful value for your business. There are validated and repeatable processes that other companies have already deployed successfully that can allow you to win with patents and IP. You don't have to reinvent the wheel or experiment on your own dime to identify and deploy processes that will improve your company's patenting efforts. These tools and techniques may be new to you and your existing patent teams, but they are certainly not new to me and my clients. I have used these methods dozens of times over the past several years to help innovators who were solving big customer problems generate strong patent protection that made meaningful differences in their financial outcomes in a year or less at very reasonable costs, especially relative to other patent providers out there. Some of these clients have obtained significant licensing revenue based on these broad issued patent rights. Other clients have been able to leverage their patent portfolios to enhance valuation at investment time or at exit, or even to get strategic partners to the table that may be their exits in the future. In truth, it's really not hard to do this once you admit that the way patent protection has been obtained in most cases in the past fails to create value for the patentees, even while patent professionals are getting rich off their clients' business. But I'm not here to criticize my peers. If it works for them, they shouldn't change it. But if you as an entrepreneur, innovator, or business person wants to see how to generate patents and intellectual property that works for you, please join me on this podcast journey. And if you're currently working to deliver notable product or technology innovations to your customers, you should not take a wait-and-see approach to changing the way you think about generating patent protection, because there are few, if any, do-overs in the IP world. We've reached the end of this introductory episode of How to Win with Patents and IP. I will be posting new episodes on a regular basis, so subscribe to get the latest on my IP strategy insights for entrepreneurs, innovators, and business leaders who want to not just get patents and IP, but patents and IP that allow them to win in their business. If you want to learn more quickly about my proven tools and techniques to generate business value from patents and intellectual property, please head over to my IP Asset Maximizer blog at thehuttergroup.com, where I have been writing about IP strategy and related topics since 2008. And remember, the definition of strategy is defining an endpoint and working backward to figure out how to get there. Our goal together will be to generate patents and IP that create meaningful value for your business. So let's work to make a plan so that we can win. See you next time.